Hey, Barb. Do you know how Moses makes his tea? Tea. He brews it. Hebrews. Hebrew. Israel. Jews. Hebrew. I'll call that one a draw. Let's pray. Should have prayed before that joke. Lord, we come before you and we lift this time and message up to you. We put them into your hands and we ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to continue with our series on what Scripture has to say about love. And we'll pick up where we left off last week in 1 Corinthians 13:7, which says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love hopes all things. There's a parallel scripture in Psalms 147:11 that brings some light to this. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. He delights when we put our hope in his love. As stated last week, the love noted here is not the love of mankind, but rather the unfailing love of God, agape love. So while we do not have the unalterable or immutable hope in romantic love or brotherly love or even family love, we do have such hope in the love of God. Everything he tells us, all of it, can be logically depended upon. Everything he has said can and should be hoped for because of God's love for us. As the psalmist says, God's love is unfailing. Cheryl may have now lost reasonably all hope that I will ever want to watch Dancing with the Stars with her, or that I will stop saying or doing things that will embarrass her. But she has a reasonable and logical hope that I will one day be conformed to the image of Christ. The difference between these two hopes is the difference between romantic love, eros, and the perfect love of God, agape. Knowing this matters because without this knowledge, all hope and hope for all things can become an exercise in futility. Ask anyone who's been married for any number of years. Hope is the feeling of faith. It's the emotion of belief. It is the force that gets us out of bed in the morning with great expectation and allows us to go to bed at night in peace, no matter what happened. For hope to exist, it must be based on rational and logical ideas. Hope is not wishful thinking, nor is it what we turn to when logic tells us what we don't want to hear. Our hope is based on truth, not desire. In the kingdom of God, hoping is not wishing. Hope is a future-centered term. I no longer hope that Cheryl will marry me, but I do hope she will stay married to me in the future. We hope that something good will happen or that something bad will not happen. Even for events that occurred in the past, we have hoped that they will not trouble us in the future. Or we hope that we will not pay a future price for something that occurred in the past. By definition, hope is this: desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in fulfillment. Expectation speaks to the future. Or B, someone or something on which hope is centered. For us, there is no definition A without definition B. There is no hope for our expectations without the love of God. There is no hope for us without God. In the New Testament, the main word for hope is elpis, which means expectation of good. Once again, a future. It's used 54 times. In all those times, the New American Standard translates as hope. And it comes from the word elpizo, to hope, to hopefully trust in. And it is almost always translated as hope, but it also uses expect, expected, and trust. All the words that combine with hope to make it rational and reasonable. In the Old Testament, tikvah, is the word that's usually, and this is extremely interesting for hope, and it means a cord, a rope, something that binds this to this, that makes it reasonable that these things are linked together. What I want and how I will get it are bound together. Our hope for all things, for all the things that God's love promises us, is built on two absolute and certain conditions. If either of them proves untrue, we have no more hope than anyone else. First, God will not change. He is love and always will be. Second, being we will change. His love will change us to his image. And we'll deal with the first one today. If God changes, then what we've built our hope upon shifts and loses its foundation. God is love, and if God changes, then love changes. If his love can change, then our hope in it can be lost. Fortunately for us, God is immutable. Who and what he is remains perpetually constant. He will not change himself, and no one else can force him to change. God has always been love and always will be. This can be counted on, and valid hope can be built upon it. And Scripture is very clear on the matter. Isaiah 48 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." You see, we know our God through his word, his spirit, and our experiences. The three things that tell us who God is. But his word is the base upon which we test the spirit and through which we filter our experiences. If his word cannot be trusted to tell us what we need to know about God, ourselves, and each other, then we have nothing to logically hope in. We have no facts to build upon. This verse tells us that while the world changes around us, the word of God remains the constant. While time begins decline, and it brings decline with it, and degradation to all other things, the word of God stands unaffected. It carries the same power and meaning to this generation as it did to the last, and it will carry it to the next generation with full vigor. It is the constant in a world that is marked by the decline of the arrow of time. And the arrow of time is a phrase that's used for the second law of thermodynamics, which basically tells you that things decline. The word is written expression of the heart and mind of God. It says, "In the beginning was the word." And this tells us that it will last forever into the future, never losing its validity or its vitality. Everything we believe, everything our faith stands on, is verified by the unchanging truth of God's word. Our hope for all things rests upon it. The consistency of God's character also protects us from our own failures. Malachi 3:6 says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore," what he's saying is, because I don't change, this is what you get. "O sons of Jacob, you are not consumed." The unchanging nature of God is what assures us, gives us hope, that we will not be consumed by our own failings, that the arrow of time will not pierce us through and make our existence an exercise in absurdity. God does not change, therefore, we continue to exist with hope. God's love, as proven by grace, does not change. It is offered to us as it was to all before us and will be afforded to all who come after us. Because God does not change, we are not consumed. Also, because he does not change, we are assured blessing. James 1:17 says this, "Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." There is no variation with God. He doesn't wake up on the wrong side of the bed on some days and on the right side on others. His reactions and responses are predictable and constant because they are motivated by what he is, love. All good and truly valuable things of this life come from him. They always have, They always will, because God does not change. There is a great and valid hope in knowing that God will always protect us from what consumes us, and He will also provide us with what blesses us, because He always has, and He always will. He wants us to know this, because knowing this builds our hope. Hebrews 9:17-19. Hebrews 6:17-19. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise, that's you, He desires to show you this, the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have taken refuge, would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. God wants you to know that His purpose for you has never changed, and it never will. It has stood from the beginning of time and will not ever be altered. God has not, does not, and will not change His purpose for creation and His purpose for you. He wants, and always has wanted, sons to love, bless, and glorify. There is nothing we can do to change this. Even when we frustrate Him with our great capacity for evil, He never abandoned His purpose for us. Even when Israel greatly angered the Lord, He said He would start over with Moses. He never said He would not finish what He started. His purpose would not be dissuaded. His word will never come back unfulfilled. And He has written His word in such a way that we would know this, so that our hope for all things would be strengthened and validated. It says that we can take refuge in the hope His immutable character and His promises afford us. He strongly encourages us to take hold of the hope that His unchanging grace affords us. He says, I told you this so that you can find a refuge here. This hope is the anchor of our souls in this world. His immutable nature is what tethers us to Him. When the storms of this life rage around us, no matter what has changed in our lives, God will not change. A hope that is sure and steadfast, a hope that is greater than any discouragement and stronger than any disappointment, a hope so strong that it enters within the veil, a hope that brings us back to God, past the angel of the flaming sword, past the veil that seals off the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, not sneaking in like a thief, but with the boldness of a much-loved son with whom He is well pleased. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It tells us we can do this because the purpose of God has allowed us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His existence and experience are our hope for all things, and He will never change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who Christ is to us will never change. He always was our Savior. He will always be our Lord. He's declared us to be His brethren, and He is the firstborn of many of us. And He will never declare otherwise. He will never call us anything other. Who and what He is now, He will always be to us. We will never need someone else, and He will never leave us or forsake us. He is our hope, and our hope will never change. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul said, Apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:3-5, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Something that is in the future, something we look forward to, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. A living hope we have in Jesus Christ will always be. It will never change. When you walk out of here, when you sleep during the night, when you wake in the morning, He will be your hope. When you have needs, when you fail, when you hurt, when you're alone, and when your eyes close for the very last time in this life, Jesus Christ will be your living hope. And He will be the same for all who trust in Him. He is and will be your hope for salvation, your hope for sanctification, and your hope for eternal glorification. We have been born again into this unchanging, unending hope of the living, because in it we never die. This hope makes me and you eternal, and it will always be a living hope. That is the hope of the living Christ. God proclaims Himself as I am that I am. What you see is what He always was and what He always will be. Because, brothers and sisters, God is not evolving. He never did. He was never less than He is now, and He cannot be more than He is now. Therein lies our hope for everything, and mostly our hope for future. If God does not change no matter what happens, then our hope does not change no matter what happens. The love of God produces the grace of God, and this unchanging grace is the hope of love for all things. John Newton wrote, "Our righteousness is in Him, and our hope depends on, not upon the exercise of His grace in us, but upon the fullness of grace and love in Him, and upon His obedience unto death." Our hope clearly hinges on God never changing. But it also hinges just as clearly upon the certainty that we will change. What hope is there for an eternity of this soul if it is not conformed to the image of Christ? Will eternity just be a much longer version of this? Because, brothers and sisters, this life ends with only two possibilities. No further need of hope, or no further possibility of hope. That's all there is. And I look forward to the day when I will have no further need of hope, because it will all be here. And this is my hope. 1 John 3:1-3. "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be." That's why we hope for it. "We know that when He appears, we will," future, "be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." This hope, we will be like Christ, can be built upon because of God's unchanging love for us. He did not save us to leave us as we are for all of eternity. Love would not do that. You can count on it. All of it. Amen. Next week, we'll look at the hope for God changing us.